If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, Equipness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome.
Welcome to
If
Lands Could
Kill. Oh man, that worked out exactly as I hoped.
That was pretty good. Well, you had to point.
That still worked out exactly as I hoped.
We almost missed the cues.
Yeah. You want to try it again?
No.
We're good.
Fuck it.
I even got the second welcome in there, so we're all good.
Yeah, welcome. To If Lands Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
And I'm Reich.
And I'm Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 14 of If Lands Could Kill. What's the date today?
Today is September 13th. Something.
September 13th.
September 13th.
Probably a month since our last fucking podcast.
Yeah, we've been a little out of action. We did have a podcast a couple weeks ago, but I haven't put it up yet because I'm a big fat jerk.
And yeah.
You forget? It's like lazy, I forget. Girlfriend's home, fucking dogs are barking.
Crippling heroin addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
All that stuff, man.
I should use that as an excuse to like, dude, why didn't you put up the podcast? Oh, I relapsed. You're like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry to hear it.
Yeah. Don't even worry about it. I'll get it.
Oh, man. But no, this is going to be a good episode because we have a lot to talk about today.
Because of cons.
The wrath of cons.
Cons!
But we have a lot to talk about. We have con spoilers out in full force today.
Peach! Peach!
We have a new dog. We have a new dog to talk about. New dog going to be on the podcast.
4 pounds, 14 ounces of the cutest shit you'll ever see.
She weighs more now than I did when I was born.
Yeah, straight sugar and spice and everything nice.
I was premature.
But really, though?
Yeah, 4.1 pounds. Yeah. I was a teeny guy. I'm making up for it now.
Damn, son. Oh, God. Dude, we could fit like fucking 50 of you now.
Easily. All right. Anyways.
Okay.
That is very easily.
We got a lot to talk about, so let's just go ahead and get this shit out of the way now. What the fuck is up, guys?
Oh, man. Destiny is up. That's what I've been doing.
Oh, yeah!
What you've been doing.
Destiny everywhere!
This podcast better go out soon so that Destiny's like... No, not Destiny 2 hasn't come out yet.
I know. Like, I'm playing Destiny 2 now.
This podcast is brought to you by Destiny.
Yeah, Bungie's Destiny. So I've been playing that a little bit. I picked it up on, Tuesday it came, or Wednesday it came? No, it came out on Tuesday. I ended up picking up on Wednesday.
The game's always coming on Tuesday.
I was peer pressured into it. Also,
yeah, you were.
Because, you know, everyone else is getting it, so I thought I might as well jump off that bridge, too. And I do not regret it.
You want to be a cool kid.
I don't regret it, because it is a lot of fun, and it is definitely, like, Halo meets Borderlands, which is not a bad combination at all.
Yeah, it's like every game in one.
But
pretty beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to. Oh, yeah.
So how's the Xbox One version? Like, I know it's got to be, like, amazingly gorgeous, right?
Oh, dude, it's beautiful.
The 360 looks good. Like, really good. So I was thinking, like, man, these, I bet, like... Just like the
textures and resolution is so much better on the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. On the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, it blows the Xbox 360 out of the water.
Like,
for sure.
It's not, so when I was watching you play the beta at your house, like it wasn't like it looked shitty, but I could tell the difference. Like, that was the first time like I could actually be like, oh wow, I could actually tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, besides like, you know, Super Nintendo to 64, you know. But I didn't think there was going to be that much of a difference, but there was noticeable difference. Even that's only like, you know, what, 5%?
There's 10%. A couple cutscenes, though, in the 360 that have... They use, like, in-game engine, you know what I mean, for the cutscenes. And you could tell, like, the hair and some of the facial features were, like, you know, just kind of last-gen meh. And I bet on the new consoles that it will look fucking fresh.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's really nice.
Overall, though, the environments do not look dated whatsoever, but there's just little things like the grass, the whatever, the trees, the
background mountains.
You know what I mean? Shit like that. It doesn't look quite as good.
Yeah, I don't think it runs any anti-aliasing, and I think it runs at 720p textures, something like that. But anyways. But yeah, it definitely, I don't think they could make it like look as good as they want it to on the Xbox 360. Otherwise, they'd sacrifice too much frames per second, and they want to lock it at like what, 30 or what, 60 frames per second?
60. That's just doing 60.
So they can't. They have to make sacrifices on the older hardware. But I mean, it's fucking great. It plays awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth as balls.
Yeah, there's no significant downside. Like I would, if I had a 360, I would not be upset for just getting it for the 360.
Oh no, no.
You're so nice to us.
Yeah.
What is it?
Give me that little
second
generator.
Give me that little pecker and suck on it, bro.
But no, I've been playing that. I've been playing it enough. I want to play more. I'm trying to catch up with Hot Sauce and our buddy Rahizum.
Mihar.
You got it too?
What's that? Yeah, he got it yesterday.
Nice.
The thing is, when I wasn't home, I would give him his disc. I'd give him my disc. He'd play it on his console under his name. And so he would be able to just catch up and just stop at the mission that I was at.
Okay.
He would like basically watch me play it, and he would play it. And so now we're both at level 11.
Okay, nice.
Level 11.
11.
Level 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm only at 8, but I'll be there soon.
Me too, buddy. Me too. I only got it 2 days ago, though, so.
Yeah. Same. But yeah, it's awesome. No qualms. It is definitely all around. It's like, I wouldn't say it's like the greatest game ever, but I would say it's very well-rounded.
Dude, it's getting bad reviews.
Really?
Really? Believe that shit?
Why? I wouldn't say that.
Because of repetitive.
Oh, maybe I haven't played enough to know.
Who cares? Fuck the reviews. I don't care.
Yeah,
this game is like, is a 9, 9.5. This game is amazing. 4.5 out of 5 stars, sir. I think it's fantastic, but people are giving it a lot of shit. Some people are giving it like 60s. Like, reputable people are giving it like 60 out of 100. I'm like, fuck you.
Because, see, I wonder if those people have played like World of Warcraft or Diablo.
I know what it is.
Because when you play those sort of games, and then you look at a game like Destiny, you're like, this isn't like repeatable,
yeah.
You know, at least I haven't got the 20, you know, so I don't know what I have in store for me. But as of right now, you just kill shit like any other fucking game, except there's just this sweet fucking RPG style to it.
But there's like so many random events you can like just walk, you can just roam the planet and just do whatever. Like I could spend 10 hours on the moon just jumping around, and there's all kind. You see like the beacons that you find? I guess you find little beacons.
Goes up?
Yeah. And then you can go, like, you know, it'll say like, hey, just kill this type of enemy and collect what it drops, you know, and shit like that. And they're little stuff, but it only gives you like a little payout. But I could do that for like hours, and I have.
And then while you're doing that, there'll be like a world event where they drop like a fucking spider tank.
Yep.
Yeah.
The reviewers just lack one thing. They just don't. They don't have the crippling addiction personality that we have.
It is like that. If a game is addictive, it's already a good one in my book. Regardless of what faults it has, whatever. If you want to just like keep fucking playing it and never put it down, who cares about its faults? And I don't even know what the fucking faults are besides it being repetitive. But
I think honestly, you need to be like that kind of gamer where you're just like, I want that good loot, and I'm going to play like 10,000 hours of grinding this shit to get good loot. I think that's what you need to be.
So it's like, with Diablo, I never understood why people wanted the good loot, and they want the good loot just so they can
get better loot.
Yeah, play more. You know, and it's not like there's even like this awesome PvP sort of thing on Diablo.
No, it's like never happened.
Yeah,
but so there is, like, it's coming out. This, right? Like Destiny's like you got PvP.
Yeah,
yeah. You're there's like, PvP, and there's like
I want to gear up for PvP.
You know, better. I don't want to say like raids, but you know, the higher end instances where you actually got to know your shit.
Well, I heard there are raids, basically. There are raids.
Where you get more than three people together?
You can have up to 6 in some of them. I think it's just later in the game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, like, the real game starts, like, once you're at the max level or whatever it is. Like, that's when you start, like, getting into, like, the more addictive, like, I want to get this gear and, like,
raiding thing. Yeah, just like, you know, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's fun to level. It's fun to explore and find shit. But then when you get to the end game, it's like you got to fight for that extra, you know, 10% of fucking awesomeness.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is great. But there's also PvP if you don't want to do that.
There's an expansion coming out in December, I read. Like, they have the expansion pass, or whatever the hell it's called.
Season pass?
Season pass. You can get that, of course, for like $35. And so I read that you're going to have, I think it's like underground in the moon or something like that. There's like they're going to open that up, and that's one of the things coming out in December, and then 2015, beginning of 2015, will be the next expansion. So they're going to keep it coming. You know, the content's going to be just pumped out. I don't think like Destiny 2 is going to come out. I think it's going to be like expansions all up and down. And it probably won't be even when they like want to revamp, you know, the graphics and use a different engine or whatever happens in like 3 or 4 years, I don't think it'll be Destiny 2. I think it'll still be like the same world and you can still, like, you know, work. You can still play against everybody in the world, like World of Warcraft style. You know what I mean? They just keep expanding it rather than, like, having a whole new standalone title
for it. And I'm totally okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, some people might not understand or be okay with the whole, you know, World of Warcraft where more expansions come out, you got to pay more money. Some people just want, like, a simple kind of...
Pay once. I understand that. That makes sense, but yeah.
But, I like that too, though.
Yeah, I like that, but I think in this instance, it would just neuter the game so much that, you know, I want expansions. I'm, like, excited for expansions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. Fucking take my money. Like, just give me more shit.
more experience. But yeah, this is kind of different, like, off subject. Well, it's kind of games, but I just want to say I dislike GameStop so much. Like, the first time I've been to a GameStop in probably, like, over a year was the Buy Destiny. And, like, the first thing they said when I came into the GameStop was, like, oh, are you trading in any games or buying any used games? I'm like, no! I'm not doing any of that. And then they're always pushing the pre-orders. Like, oh, yeah, I see you getting Destiny, so do you want to pre-order blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah? Or, you know, like, 10 times over, I'm like, please, just take my money and let me get out of here.
That's why Amazon's there, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm never going to a GameStop again. Like, that's why I love Steam so much. It's like, I understand, like, they're trying to push, like, the downloadable content. They're trying to push their, like, pre-orders and their, you know, like, their trades or whatever. That's where they make the bulk of their money. But it's like, when I go in there, it's like, I know what I want. Like, I don't really want to have to, like, sit through, like, your 10-hour spiel just to pay for one game.
You know, Best Buy, they have... Or their warranty
behind, like, the counter. Do you want to warranty your game?
No.
Like, why would I ever want to really warranty my game?
Yeah, do you want a 1 year, like, scratch protection?
Like, what, like, am I...
No, fucker, I take care of my shit.
Am I playing Frisbee with my disc after I'm done? Like, what? I'm going to play this for, like, a month and I'm done. What am I going to do with it?
It's going to stay in my Xbox for 3 months, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not coming out. But, so, to go back to what you were saying, I fucking... Past two times I've gone into GameStop, I walked in there saying, I just want to pre-order one game. And I walked out with, like, three or four fucking pre-orders. Yeah. Like,
Because they do it. Because
they do it. And then I'm like, fuck yes, I want to pre-order it, you dick. Like, it's how... Like, so this last time when I went to go pre-order Destiny, I pre-ordered GTA 5 because they said it wasn't going to come out on the Xbox One. It was just going to be 360.
That's all lies.
No, yeah, sure.
Same thing with PC. Oh, it's not on the PC. Oh, it's going to come out.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, sweet, because I hadn't heard anything about it. So I was like, okay, sweet. And then he was like, oh, and also there's, you know, the Master Chief Collection. And I was like, fuck. Okay, you shut your mouth, and I'll pre-order that one too, but you just shut up after this, okay? Yeah. Shut up. And he's like, okay. He's like, sweet, I just got it for three pre-orders. I was like,
yes. I bet they get like a dollar kickback.
Yeah,
I think
they got some menial amount or something.
And it's not like something they like tricked me into. Like, I definitely want those games. It's just like, it's not like I needed the money to like buy my children shoes or something, you know? But
you have so many children.
Yeah. Whatever you do not get those fucking magic beans, goddammit. You sell that cow.
But yeah, I was just like, yes, I want to pre-order it. Yes, I want to pre-order it. I'm getting out of here. So.
Yeah, I kind of glazed over when they started going, like, you want to pre-order, like, you know, Madden 9000? You want to pre-order new Call of Duty rehash number 5? Do you want to pre-order?
When I went into Best Buy, they had them right behind the counter. Like, I went up there, and, I they had the front guy next to the sliding glass door or whatever. And so I just said, like, Destiny? And he goes, oh, yeah, just go to the cashier. And then I went to the cashier and walked out. I didn't have to go walking or any of that shit.
And the person made me wait, like, 5 minutes to check the computer system to make sure they had enough. Like, oh, you didn't pre-order this? Like, oh, let me check my system, make sure I got enough. There's like a whole box behind me. Yeah. Like 2 minutes later, oh no, we have one we can sell you.
You know, Destiny. Yeah, are you on the list? Destiny shipped in the first day $500 million worth of copies.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Shipped. I mean, they're not saying sold, but shipped.
Yeah.
Fucking A. It's also the most pre-ordered game of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to Magic.
No, not back to Magic.
What's up with you? What's up with you?
Oh, I don't know. We had that wedding. I was a fucking bridesmaid.
Ah!
Yeah, he was very, very cute bridesmaid.
Drunken bridesmaid.
Oh, I know.
Just like that.
Did you give it up?
I want to get married too now.
Yeah, hot sauce is getting pretty hot and saucy.
Yeah, there's two girls and then myself on the woman's side. And make it even better, it was fucking... This was kind of a goofy-looking nerd guy for the... Not for the best man. I don't think. What's the best man? I don't know. Oh, anyways, the other two guys. Oh, you weren't there. The other two guys. The other two guys, though, were Navy SEALs. Yeah. So, like, I'm not only am I on the female side, I had to, like, walk down the aisle, basically, with a Navy SEAL. It's fucking pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
The thing is, highlight. Yeah, and then when we walk into the reception, one of the Navy guys, like, I'm like, what are we going to do? I'm like, we got to do something fun. He's like, just get on my fucking shoulders. I'm like, done. So I'm up on his shoulders, and they're playing the Sugar Hill Gang.
Rapper Delight?
No. What the fuck's that song called?
Like, I didn't remember. I was drunk.
Oh, really? Well, it's the, my God, I can't fucking think of it.
It was good, though, whatever it was.
Yeah. It was a good song. It has a dance to it and shit like that, and so we were doing that. It's pretty gay.
It's very flamboyant,
but it was fun. I was literally drinking since, like, 11 in the morning, and I ended up being, like, drunk by 2 p.m., and then wedding wasn't until, like, 6, so I wasn't a mess until, like, later, like, after the wedding. So, like, I walked down, but nobody knew, but fucking... Man, there's so much.
It was good. It was a good time.
Shit show that day was. So good for them, though. Congratulations on their marriage, Katie and Joe.
Yep, and long time coming.
Yeah, long time coming. And Joe's like, motherfucker, just marry me already. And Katie's like, I don't know. I want to be single. No, I don't know. Katie, I just feel that she's like not interested in getting married. So it's kind of funny.
But yeah, cons, man. It came out, or coming out soon, like, what, 2 weeks from now?
Oh, I just want to tell my dog story real quick.
Oh, yeah, again. Oh, okay.
So,
go, Ninja.
So,
nothing's been
too exciting except for Destiny, but we already talked about that. But, so I was at work the other day, and me and my girlfriend have this, like, phone code to where if we call each other twice in a row, one right after another, that means, like, hey... It's urgent, or like an emergency. Or
urgent, emergency.
So I went, I was like, oh shit. So I went out on a break and I called her. I was like, hey, is everything okay? And she's like, I'm on my way to buy a dog. And I'm like, fuck. Because she was just begging me to get a fucking dog. So we got one in February. I think I talked about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She woke up one day, decided she wanted to go look at dogs. We came home with a dog. So, I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And then she, you know, I think it was like maybe like 2 months ago or something. She was like, man, we should get another dog for Bowser to play with. And I was like, yeah, maybe in like a year or two. And she heard that in her female brain
like
to say like a month or two. So, she was like, I'm going to get a dog. Just love me. Just love me and don't judge me. And I'm going to get a dog. And just support me in my decisions and my obsessive compulsive. And I was like, all right. And so she came home with a little terrier mix. And so we have a horse and a rat now. And but it's
the cutest rat ever, though.
Yeah.
Greatest rat.
And her name is Princess Peach. Keeping with the Mario theme. So if we get another dog, it's going to be Yoshi.
PP for short.
Yeah, PP.
And the other dog's Bowser, if the listeners don't remember.
Correct. Yeah, the big-ass Rottweiler is Bowser.
So it's fitting.
Yeah, and they seem to get along pretty well. He kidnaps her every once in a while, but, you know, she always makes it home.
Yeah.
And
luckily you hire a plumber.
Yeah, exactly. But then sometimes she's in the wrong castle, and you have to go looking for her somewhere else. But anyways, enough of the stupid Mario jokes. So yeah, that's my big story that we kind of support each other in our obsessive compulsive ways. So she's like, hey, I want to get a dog. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to spend my whole paycheck on magic, you know? Not really, but I am buying 2 boxes of cons.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Which is coming out.
Definitely buying.
Totally, Segway.
Totally worth.
Boom.
Damn, you're smooth. You
blew that Segway apart.
Smooth move, Axelax.
Okay, so cons comes out 2 weeks.
I think 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and the pre-release is a week from today.
Yeah, which I am very excited.
And I requested a day off. I requested Sunday off so we can play Saturday night.
All right, I'm down.
So if you guys aren't down, I have to break up with you.
I'm down. Go.
So this whole set has been spoiled. And, okay, so every fucking podcast ever has just shit their pants about what cards?
Like... searching
something, lands? About, something about your deck and looking and
yeah, like
spending a lot of time shuffling.
Something about like a straw, like a Felcher or something.
Felchermans.
I just got the most disgusted look from us.
Oh no.
So Fetchlands, Onslaught Fetchlands, which were not previously legal in Modern.
All of them? They just turned 18.
Wasn't it just a few of them, or no?
No, all of them that were out. So, was it five?
Yeah, it was five.
There's five that came out in Onslaught block.
Yep, five and Zendikar.
And then five in Zendikar. So the Zendikar ones
were the ally.
Are the ally, and they're legal colors in Modern. And then once Cons comes out, then these Onslaught ones are going to become legal in Modern.
Woo!
Yep, and they so turned 18, baby! They're legal!
Yeah! So, I mean, this is cool that we're going to be able to, you know, Cons is a three-color set. You know, where a lot of the cards are three color casting cost, and we're gonna get fetches and blah blah blah. But I remember us talking about on previous episodes that we were gonna wait to get into Modern until like fetches were in Standard, because then they would be more affordable.
Yeah, they're like, I'll just say it right now. I mean, the ones that are coming out are like between $10 and $18.
Yeah, they're all basically five. Like opening up a $20 bill in your booster pack. So. I'm really excited to be able to play this set, but I'm also excited to start building my collection, because once I get a good amount of these fetches, which I plan on getting them, like, right off the bat.
Two of each, four of each, what?
I'm just going to get four of each just because, but to tell you the truth, I am no Modern expert or even a novice. Like, I'm just so clueless when it comes to Modern.
Now, you definitely want to play four of each. I mean, like, play four of the colors that you're going to be playing.
Right. So,
because it thins your deck so nicely.
So basically, so nice. We're going to... I know I'm going to be looking more into Modern, and I really want to build a mill deck, because with the blue-black Fetchland, hopefully it'll be a slightly more fringe playable than it was before.
In Modern, right.
In Modern, Modern
mill, okay.
Yeah. But anyways, let's fucking talk about Cons.
I was going to say, the fetch lands, I don't see them... The thing is, because we don't have any lands that have forest or plains or whatever in the title, it's not going to be, like, Modern, explosive, and Standard, you know what I mean?
No.
But, you know what I like, though, is Courser Crucifix with... You get to bring out a land and bring out another land, so it's two life.
Yep.
You have two Coursers, and that's four life. It's just that life advantage from Courser is, like, a real big part of it, too. You know, not to be overlooked, and so now you get to get double. That's pretty cool. Besides thinning your deck, all that fun stuff. You know what I mean? It's real cool. So
no.
I know it's minus one life to go look, but it just offsets, and then it's fantastic.
No, it's a good interaction. But yeah, I don't think these are going to blow up like in Constructed Standard like it would be in Modern, for sure.
I mean, they're going to blow up.
Oh, that's just because people want them.
Yeah, just because people want them for Modern. But, I mean, people are going to play them in Standard, but like Hot Sauce was saying, all we have are basic lands that actually have...
That can get fetched,
and as of right now.
And if fetch lands are only already two colors, all you're searching is for two of those, one of those colors, it's basically like a fucking pain land. I mean, you know, you only search one color. Like, there's not... Well, you can't do the old school way where you have a two-color fetch land, and then you can find another color with it. You know what I mean? You can't get a third color out of those two, which you can in Modern. So this one you can't.
Because
it's
bringing in Shockland.
Yeah, bringing in a Shockland, you know what I mean? So that's the way to do it. That's the ultimate way to do it. That's the ultimate flexibility mana fixing. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
I'm just interested to see what Modern decks start rising up now that their mana base is going to be even better. Like, Jund's mana base wasn't that great. I don't think that great. Now they have, like, you know, better lands and some with, like, I don't know, some other decks.
Yeah, the red, black, green, black.
Might start coming out of the woodworks now that their mana base is getting a little bit better. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Still Malera Pod for me all the way. But
so, anyways,
fucking Cons, man. I'm so excited to start playing Limited in this. Because just looking at all the cards.
There's so much mana fixing for Limited that you can just play whatever the fuck you want.
It's gonna be fun, like, forcing something. I'm going to go into a draft being like, all right, we're going to go Mardu. And then that's it.
You're going to first pick a fucking, like, you know, a Mardu, like the legendary dude, and then just force the shit out of it.
Or I'll just fucking pick the goddamn three-color land and shit, just force it.
Yes.
Fuck it, dude, whatever. So
if you don't know what Cons, like, you know, there's Cons introduced the actual, like, what is it, the enemy colors or the wedge colors? So now there's going to be five new guilds or clans or whatever you want to call them. So we have Mardu, which is red, black, white. We have Sultai, which is...
black, green, blue.
Black, green, blue. We have Jeskai, which is red, blue, white. We have Temur, which is my colors, of course. Green, blue, red. And then there's also, what's the last one?
Abzan.
Abzan, which is the white, black, green, right?
Correct.
So those
got them all. I'm surprised.
So those are the five new clans that are coming out with cons, which is awesome because we actually have like proper names for these tricolors now. And the clan cons are so cool. They're so cool. I mean, just to be able to have, like, you know, new commander guys, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's going to be big in commander. But one of the guys that I really fucking want to talk about, first and foremost, is the Bear Puncher.
Bear Puncher!
Bear Puncher! Do you need assistance?
Yeah, so Surek Dragonclaw, which is a teamer clan. He is the con of the teamers, and he is a five converted mana cost, 6/6 human warrior. And I don't think there's ever been a human with a 6 toughness, 6 booty. And not only that, but he has flash and freaking gives all your other creatures trample, but
can't be countered.
Can't be countered.
And
all your other creatures can't be countered.
The bomb.
And he punches bears.
And he punches bears. That's how he earned his name.
He's a human and a warrior. And you know what? This is like kind of like a little bit of a warrior thub theme. And same thing with goblins. Like, you know, goblin.
Yeah, it definitely looks also. Like there's a goblin and warrior.
Yeah, that's big.
Sub theme. I almost fucked it up because we fucked it up.
It's a thumb theme.
It's a flub theme.
The flub meme.
But no. So I'm like super stoked about this guy. And there's a bunch of other teamer cards that we'll probably end up touching on. But this, like, I just feel like red, blue, green is just like screaming to me. Like, you play me.
So that's what you're...
Oh yeah, that's my.
You're looking to build
my clan will be definitely teamer without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely like the red green. And it's just weird because you never played blue.
I never touched blue, but for some reason I'm jiving the blue.
You might not even play blue. You're just gonna have to play it for the wedge.
Yeah, I'm just gonna splash blue.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know splash the blue.
You're not even gonna play like just like you know a blue card.
I'm not gonna be playing like dispel or anything weird.
Yeah, but I mean that clan is very. Based green red.
Oh yeah, it's like I would say blue is more like an afterthought.
Yes,
for sure. But yeah, I'm so excited about the teamer clan. Also, Abzan looks really really nice coming out. Just
I like that Abzan hates on Sultai. Like this, I'll talk about this main guy,
right?
So Anafenza the Foremost. That's the creature. This one, it's 3 converted mana cost, just one of each color. Legendary creature, human soldier, blah blah blah. It's 4/4. But the second ability is if a creature card would be put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead. So it fucks up graveyard strategy day long, so, including like...
I heard you have Delve? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Dude, so like Sultai is the only clan that there's other cards that just fuck it in the ass. I totally just spit on you. I saw it. So Abzan just totally fucks it in the ass. And it's not like other clans have that, like, one other card, you know, that fucks them.
Right.
But Sultai has 2. There's that one, and then another one that fucks up the graveyard. And that's just mean.
It is, though. It is. But it's great, though, at the same time.
No,
it's other good. The other part of it is whenever this motherfucker attacks, put a 1/1 counter on another target tapped creature you control. So that's... It's not going to be a big boost. Like, the 1-1 is fine, but there's a lot of interaction when things have counters. If your creatures do have a counter on it, a lot of cards give it, like, first strike or flying or whatever else. So the idea of the 1-1 is not a big deal, but the idea of it being a counter is a big deal.
Right. So that's what you want to be in?
Well, I mean, we're not really choosing, are we?
Okay, we're not choosing. Yes,
I think we have to choose.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
I think
for, we have to fight and choose. Pre-release, you're going...
Abzan.
Abzan?
Yes.
And you're going Timur?
Oh, Timur! I'm going all the Timurs.
Timur.
The lemur teamers.
That's my... Taymor.
Taymor? I don't know how you pronounce
it. Who the fuck knows? I don't care.
I was really excited at first when they spoiled the Sultai. Like, just the theme of it was really cool. And then the cards start coming out. And it just... I feel like it didn't get there all the way. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's going to be powerful if you pull it off, but there's just a lot of ways where it can go wrong. You know, kind of like the whole, like, mill thing, you know? So,
what do you want to look at?
I actually got it on my phone right here, but I'm looking at the Mardu.
The Mardu.
I think that's what I'm going to do. The one card that actually, like, actually two cards that made me want to go into it was the Ankle Shanker.
Oh yes, the Ankle Shanker.
So it's a little bit overcosted. 2 red, white, black. For a 2/2, so already...
Why for a 2/2? I mean...
Yeah, that's rough.
Where are you going with this?
That sounds like some alpha magic right there.
Yeah. Haste, okay, you know, a little bit better, but a 2-2 just running into some, you know, 5-5s.
And it's three colors.
I know, it's rough.
Go on.
Whenever Ankle Shanker attacks, creatures you control gain first strike and death touch.
The combo.
That is, unless you have a removal spell for him, the team's going to be getting through. Or you're just going to chump away all your fucking creatures. And also, you know me in black, I love demons. Butcher of the Horde. One red, white, black flying for a 5-4, like those stats. Sacrifice another creature. Butcher of the Horde gains your choice of Vigilance, Lifelink, or Haste until end of turn. And if you have three creatures you can sacrifice, you can activate all three. The only problem I see with a deck of this caliber is that I'm going to need some fucking Rabble Masters, and they're $1,000.
Yeah, Rabble is rabbling expensive.
It went from 80 cents to $10, $11.
Like, overnight, literally overnight.
I specifically remember being like, oh, I'll probably pick them up later. And, yeah, fucking horrible.
Well, so, Boss Sly or whatever it is. Thank you, Tom Ross. Whoever's playing that
Bob,
right now.
Bob Ross.
Bastard.
Thank you,
Isn't that the guy who paints trees?
That's our little secret. That Rabble Master, that's our little secret.
Or is he the rapper?
Happy,
what? Is he the rapper with the big beard?
No.
Bill Clinton?
The funky Homo sapiens?
Yeah.
What the? Man, we just... So many references right there in my head's gonna explode.
What are we talking about? Again? I don't even know what we're doing. Where are we?
I think I just had a stroke, dude. So, I feel like Rabble Master is gonna be a must-have if you're gonna try to pull off the raid mechanic.
I think if you're playing any color that is like red, that is not mid-ranged, you probably want him Rabble Master.
Well, I mean, like, he's going to be good in any red deck, mostly. But, I mean, for the raid, he is a must. Because you're going to be... The goblins are going to be attacking every turn.
Yeah. I heard someone say that he's, like, the Thassa of mono red. Or, you know, of red. Or whatever.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's definitely going to be in standard, like, constructed a lot. I mean, already more so than he is right now.
That goblin attacking, like you said, with the raid... So raid's a mechanic where it only works if you attack with a creature that turn, and it attacks with this. It brings out a 1/1 and attacks with haste that turn. You don't care if it dies.
Yeah.
You just care that it triggers raid.
Yeah, for free.
It's for free. Like, oh, but you're attacking into my 6/6. Like, I don't care. It's a free creature that triggers the attack.
Yeah, I get to fucking bust out the sweet raid trigger.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, there's some pretty good ones. You know, I still got to look through them, but...
Can we talk about Mardu a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk about Mardu. Mardu is actually really... I like Mardu. This was my second pick.
It's like
I had to choose besides... If Teemer didn't exist, then I would have probably went to Mardu.
It seems like a very simple clan with, like, simple mechanics, but it just seems efficient, you know? Like, I like the...
The efficient beaters. They got efficient... All the cards are really, really, like...
It has a very Boros-y feel to it, you know? With, like, a splash of black.
I like, so that one guy, the blood something or other, the one mana 2/1.
Oh, what's that
called? Blood soaked fucking.
Blood soaked champion.
Blood soaked champion.
Oh.
So he's a 2/1.
For one.
For one.
For a black.
For a black. One black. And he cannot block, but it's 2/1 for one, which is sweet.
Already good. It doesn't.
What's up?
So, raid, which is one and a black. Return Bloodsoaked Champion from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate this ability only if you attack with a creature this turn.
Fine.
Yeah.
Sacrifice your 1/1 goblin, because it's going to die anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Bring back your 2/1 as many times as you want.
And guess what? He's not going to be useless late game because of Ankle Shanker or, let's say, Irois. You know, there's going to be ways for your guys to get through, so a 2/1 late game isn't going to be shit.
I think Purphoros is going to go up because of shit like this. First of all, the goblin brings out old dude, and that makes it 2 damage to target opponent.
Right.
Then you bring that guy back, it's 2 damage to target opponent.
Yeah.
So you can just keep doing damage with Purphoros.
You can just attack in with your guy, bring him back, whatever.
Yeah, unlimited reach. Unlimited reach!
Unlimited!
But, I do enjoy that guy. There's another Mardu. The con is not the best...
No, he's really not.
He's not the best con by any stretch of the means, but he's actually kind of... I kind of like his mechanic where, essentially, he has to attack every turn, he has haste, and he's a 7-2 for, what, 5?
Yeah, for 2 red, white, black.
Yeah, sure, he can die easily, but whenever a creature is dealt combat damage by him, he pretty much gets a +1/+1 counter. So if you can get him out, you know, and get him in to get, you know, the red zone and get through, this guy can get out of hand
quick. Oh, yeah, that so, paired with the Irois god.
Yeah. So he has haste, attacks each turn if able, has indestructible as long as it's your turn. It's kind of huge. And then whenever a creature dealt combat damage by this dude dies, put a 1-1 counter on him.
This guy is going to be a limited bomb.
Yeah, he's going to build up.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like you said, Irois, so it's going to be a little bit harder to block. And there's shit to where you can actually, like, make people block your dude. So, I like it.
I'm really excited about the charms.
I like it.
I'm glad they came out with the cycle of charms.
So, let's talk about the charms a little bit, I think. Well, you know what? Okay, let's do charms, and then we'll do the ascendancies after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Mardu charm. First of all, they changed everything. So, it says, choose one with bullet points. Instead of being... If you looked at the charms, the Boros charm and all that crap from before, from the...
They had, like, the commas block, or whatever.
They have commas. And you're, like, reading it, and then whenever you want to choose something, you have to pass the card to your opponent so they can read what you chose, basically. Because... Yeah. I know,
it's
like,
not laid out like bam, bam,
no,
bam.
No, it's not. And this one instead is, why did they not fucking do this from the get-go? This shit is
beautiful. No, I do like how it looks so much better now.
And they're all pretty powerful. I mean, really, the flexibility is here. Everything, so there's three abilities on each card, and each card is three colors. Each ability relates to its color. So if it's blue, for example, one of the ones was put target creature on top of its owner's library. That's a blue spell.
That is definitely blue.
So a red spell. Deals 4 damage to target opponent. Duh. A white spell. Creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain lifelink tone of turn. All these things on each one of these cards, they pinpoint whatever color it is for ability.
No, they did a very good job in these charms. Like, they actually stuck to, like, the color wheel. Like, each color's ability on one card.
So, best charm, what do you guys think?
I would definitely say probably Sultai.
I think that's the most flexible.
I think Sultai, and then runner-up would be Abzan charm. I think maybe even the Abzan might take the number one. Just to be able to... So the Abzan charm is a white, black, green, so it's 3 mana. You can choose one. It's exile target creature with power 3 or greater.
Which is the only one you'd want to exile.
Which is really nice. The second ability, or you can choose, is you draw 2 cards and you lose 2 life, which is just another, like, you know, read the bones.
It's a sign of blood.
Sign of blood. And then the last one is distribute 2 1/1 counters among 1 or 2 creatures you control. So all of these are very good in pretty much any situation.
Yes, not only limited, of course.
Yeah, well, and limited. But I mean, I think these are constructed playable.
They are.
Being able to just exile a target creature with 3 or greater power—that's huge. That's like pretty much Somal's teamer, like all of teamer. Being able to draw 2 cards is great to cycle. You know, you need to find. You know, answers. Well, here you go. Pay 2 life. Get 2 more cards. Beautiful. Distribute 2 +1/+1 counters. That is very, very good for any situation.
I feel like each one of those represents one of the colors in the casting cost.
That's what we just said, yeah. Oh. I just said it, so don't even go into it.
Damn it!
I explained it.
I just went outside to go get a lighter and I fucked up.
No, it has been done. It has been decided.
Like Mardu, I feel like the Teamer Charm is probably, like, I say probably the weakest of all of them. It is nice just to have creatures get, like, you know, a boost. So read the teamer for me real quick.
Yeah. Oh, you got it?
Go for it.
Ugh. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 until end of turn. It fights target creature you don't control.
So that's standard, just another fight. You know, fight, you know, whatever, that's fine.
The blue is counter target spell unless its controller pays 3, which is fine.
That's a decent counter. Yeah. Probably not so great late game, but I mean it is pretty good.
Yeah, it'll stop a bomb from being dropped.
Oh yeah.
If they're gonna fucking pay 5 for their bomb, they're probably not gonna have 8, so that's good. And then the last one is creatures with power 3 or less can't block this turn. Totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's serviceable. It's definitely a serviceable charm, but I think some of the other ones are a little bit better in terms of, like, power. I agree. I mean, I definitely probably running, you know, maybe 2 of these charms in my teamer deck, just for the ability for removal.
I think that it should be with all of us that when we start doing this clan stuff, that we should at least try the charms.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's there for a reason. I think that it's constructed playable. And maybe later on, you'd be like, all right, no, I got a better answer. I need a different card. Fine. But I think for the first 3 months while this thing is out, I think this is something everyone should be playing the charms and seeing how fucking flexible they are.
Yeah, I think they're super versatile. Like, the Mardu one isn't horrible. Deals 4 damage to target creature. Yeah, you know, pseudo removal.
Mm-hmm.
Put 2/1/1 white warrior creature tokens on the battlefield. They gain first strike until end of turn.
Sweet, though. I mean, so that's a lot of one.
You can just flash it in and take out their 2/2 or whatever.
Yep.
And then target. This one is probably the weakest. It's just duress. So upon reveals his or her hand, you choose a non-creature, non-land card from it. That player discards that card.
Mm-hmm. The first one, the first ability, doing 4 damage to target creature, that's huge.
That's really huge.
Yeah, 4 is a magic number right now.
4 is very nice.
So that's good. And then, I tell you the truth, I think the Sultai is the best one. Did you guys already go over that one?
No, we said it was the best one. But pretty much
it's destroy target monocolored creature, so ultimate price. Destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Naturalize.
Draw 2 cards, then discard 2 cards. I don't know what card we can assimilate that to.
That is, what is it?
Some red.
Wild Guess.
Yeah, some red.
It's Wild Guess.
Is it Wild
Guess?
Yeah. It's red. Fucking red is like, yeah, draw red. A card, discard a card.
I'm the only red way to get cards.
Technically, it's the blue portion, but whatever.
Oh, it's like the new Planeswalker. Chase.
Oh, yeah.
Guild Pact.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
So, I mean, yeah, not too bad. I think it's really good, though. You got your card draw, and your destroy effect, so I like it.
So, charms are looking good. And you said that Reich liked the Sultai one best?
Yeah, it might probably be Sultai, followed up by Azban, and then probably Mardu, probably Teemer, and then Jeskai would be my last. Jeskai's good. I don't like Jeskai. But I'm just putting Teemer above it just because I'd probably play Teemer.
I think you're right in that order, basically. I think that maybe Mardu and Abzan are both tied because I do like the 2/1s. You know, I think that's pretty sweet. And it's removal.
In limited,
why not? More removal. 4 damage to creature, why not?
Any of these are fine and limited.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. These
what
are
about you?
Definitely.
Knife, what's your order?
Probably Sultai, just because of the versatility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, black being able to destroy enchantments and artifacts always gives me a boner. And then, I don't know, I'm leaning towards Mardu, but Abzan is probably better.
Oh, really? Okay. So we're pretty similar on the order,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I'd say.
So the Ascendancies. Each clan got this 3 mana enchantment, and it's just 3, you know, one of each of their colors and nothing else, no colorless added on. They're all rare, and they all have, all of them have 2 abilities except for Sultai. So
Sultai really got the kind of like.
Dude,
they
got the shaft.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's kind of why I
got the long hard
didn't want
to. And Delve, to go back to that, you can only use it a couple times.
Yeah, Delve is only so good.
Well, I mean, there is so repeatable self mill. Yeah, there's plenty of repeatable self mill.
And why even have anything in your deck if you're going to mill like 90%?
But if you're going to mill one card and then use Delve on another card, you better be drawing some cards.
See, that's the thing I was talking about earlier. It's like, if you hit it, it's fucking sweet. If you don't, you just fucked yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of, yeah.
I like the Delve mechanic, as a mechanic, but I don't think it's the greatest.
So I think what they did is the whole Cypher thing they did, where it's like, this is really powerful, but we're going to make it cost way too much, and therefore it's not playable.
Pretty much. So, Abzan is the one I'm going to be purchasing maybe 2 of for an Abzan deck.
Yeah.
Ascendancy. So this one is when this guy enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. That sounds just fine for 3 mana.
Even
by
game,
itself,
that's fucking nice.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I mean, why not? Even if you have tokens out, even if you have 2 creatures, why not?
Yeah.
It's totally fine. The other one, though, is whenever a non-token creature you control dies, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token onto the battlefield.
Very nice.
It's real nice.
Super nice.
Hopefully you can pump them up, but if not, when your chump blocker dies, you bring out another chump blocker. You know what I mean? That's totally fine.
And having 2 of these on the board isn't shitty. You bring out 1, a couple of your guys die, you got 1/1 flyers, bring out the other one, now you got 2/2 flyers.
Yeah, totally fine. Absolutely. So there's that. And then I think that Reich here might be playing the Temur one, right?
I'd have to see what my deck composition will look like, but a 3 mana slot is really hard to fill in.
But it draws cards.
But it does draw cards, so that is very blue of this Ascendancy. But yeah, I'd have to look at my what I'm going to be going for. But yeah, it is possible to be played.
So the red part of the Temur is creatures you control have haste, and then the other ability is the green blue part, which is whenever a creature with power 4 or greater enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card. It's 4 or greater all day long. So if anything, you're going to get in for... You're going to have 1 haste creature come out with this card. It's going to do its attack. You're going to get in damage, hopefully. Hopefully trample, whatever. And then, because it came out anyways with haste, you got to draw a card. So I think just for 3 mana right now, the lowest this thing's going to do is draw you a card and give something haste. I think that's already good enough for 3 mana.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, if I was going to be playing a 3 mana enchantment, I think maybe Hammer Purphoros would probably be a little bit better for me. But,
I think so, huh?
Yeah, just for the ability to sack a land and get a
get the three creatures out.
Yeah. Fair enough. This is not a bad charm for limited, for sure. I mean, enchantment for limited, but I just don't see me playing it too much.
Gotcha. Well, fair enough. What do you got?
Well, the Sultai one, I was just looking at, it doesn't affect the board immediately, but I think it has the long game. It has the best ability on it, or best text on it. It's obviously blue, green, black. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top two cards of your library. Put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest back on the top of your library in any order.
No, see, I like this one.
So it is a scry two, and
but put in your graveyard.
That's if you want.
Yeah.
You can put them both on top.
Put them both in your graveyard.
Or put them both in your graveyard. Okay. So you can feed your delve, or you can just, you know, organize your draws.
You can feed the whip.
You can feed the whip. You can, yeah. I think it's a very good long game, but out of all of them, it does not affect the board right away. So late game, it's a shitty draw.
So I guess the last one we can talk about is Mardu, and that one is whenever a non-token creature you control attacks, put a 1/1 red goblin creature token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. So that's just a good old-fashioned Brimaz effect or whatever, you know, one of those things. Pops out, it's pretty cool. And then the second part is kind of interesting. They were talking about it, I think, on, like, the A-Team or one of those other fucking podcasts, about how, aggressive strategies never have toughness.
Right.
And so this thing is sacrifice this enchantment, creatures you control get +0/+3 until end of turn. So this is something that red never gets, and right. So it's kind of interesting. Like, blue gets that. You know what I mean? White gets that.
Yeah, I think it's a very white ability, and... Like, Boros didn't really get shit like this. Boros more had, like, the fire breathing and, you know, +1/+0.
Yeah, all the red is +1/+0.
So this throws in a little bit more of the white into it. So I thought, yeah, that was definitely interesting. If you want, if you're swinging in with everyone and you want everybody to survive.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And just if they let it, you could, it's kind of this weird thing where if they block... then you go ahead and sacrifice it. If they don't, well, you just got in some damage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then and you just sacrifice it again.
It's that whole bluffing thing, you know? Like, am I going to do it? Do you really want to block? Because I can just crack it?
Yes, exactly.
So it's I like that.
Exactly.
There's actually some cool instant like cards. Like, what was it? Utter End is one of the ones that are really nice. The Abzan card.
Yeah, we can talk about that. That's
Utter End is like an amazing card. For 4 mana, it's, what is it, white... white, black, red.
White, black, and 2 colorless.
White, black, and 2 colorless. And it pretty much says exile, target, non-land, permanent.
Instant speed. Not associated with a guild.
Crazy.
So, in Magic's history, there have been better cards that exile, target, permanent.
Right.
But we're not in that fucking phase of Magic.
I think that was a sorcery for 3.
Well, they've just been talking about it on all the podcasts. Oh, why couldn't they just give us this card? This card's worse than that card. I kind of hate it when people talk about it because it's like, okay, well, that's fucking in the past. This is what we have right now.
Do you want to just, like, destroy the meta? Like, come on.
Yeah.
You just want to destroy Magic.
Yeah, it's just, if you did that, it'd be like another Thoughtseize. You're like, well, fucking thanks a lot for just ruining everyone's strategy. If you play Thoughtseize, you win. If you play Utter End for 3 or whatever, the, you know.
Yeah.
It was 2 mana or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the hell
playing it about.
Fucking, then it's going to be a $20 card.
Yeah.
And it's going to, whoever plays it's going
to
win.
I think being able to exile, the keyword is exile at instant speed. Being able to exile any non-land permanent for 4 mana, I think that's completely fine. That's
Banishing Light, goodbye. Planeswalker, goodbye. Whatever indestructible, gigantic creature with its 10-10, fucking buy. Like,
yeah. Okay. 4 mana is completely good cost.
There are cards where the cards in exile actually matter. So, although it's good, there are some other cards in the set where if you have a card exiled or you can play cards from exile or shit like that, so that's going to make it interesting. But I think for the most part, this is a very efficient removal spell.
So,
and there's no old Doomblades.
No Doomblades.
Thank God.
So yeah, there's one card that it makes me, when I read it, I'm like, God damn, but I'm not going to play these colors. The Flying Crane Technique, the hidden flower, the flying dragon.
The Wurtang clan?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's a bunch of fucking monks kicking up in the air and dancing and having their fucking, I don't even know, they're just being...
Shaolin.
Silly Shaolin monks.
Soccer. Yeah, silly Jedi ninja monks. Anyways, it's an instant for 6. 3 colorless and then 3 of their colors. The What class is this?
This is a Jeskai.
Jeskai.
America.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Untap all creatures you control. They gain flying and double strike until end of turn.
Flying and double strike.
And that's for six? Six.
But if you get to six, you win. Like, in a sense. If you have a semi-decent board presence, everything gets flying and double strike.
Isn't that what Ajani
did? That's crazy, but it's only for one.
Oh, okay.
That's fine for one, because that was like the reason you play Ajani, the plus one counter, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You play it to have a finishing move. This is another finishing move. This is, I just think it's just, if you need to, you can use it even if you don't win, okay? It gives them all vigilance. It untaps them after the attack. So after you attack, you untap them, fly in, and double strike, and if they block, you're probably going to kill their shit. And then you have blockers. Like, it's just, if you're not going to win that turn, you're going to have blockers for next turn, and you're probably going to win the next turn.
Or if you just attack in, and they don't block, and then they go to attack for the kill, you just bust this out, their whole team dies, exactly. You win on the next
one. And then you win the next one. It's fucking fantastic.
I don't know how great it's going to be. I think this format is going to be really slow because of all the mana fixing.
They're making it be slow, which I love, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
All the shuffling that's going to be going on is going to take forever. I suck at shuffling.
I prefer longer turn games, but I don't know if that's actually going to be a thing.
It's only like 20 cents right now. Or yeah. 40 cents. But it reads amazing.
Yeah, it reads amazing, but the mana is I know. Little much.
It's sitting in your hand
if
all
it was
day
for
long.
One mana, then I'd get behind it, right?
Dude, and if it was one mana,
and then they just like counter
one color, one colorless mana.
And then one of the charms counters it, and you're like, ah, fuck, okay.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, that's actually not that bad. But so. I mean, just the fucking utter end, I'm like, got an utter boner.
Yeah. Stroking my udders right now.
I know. Someone's got like a Photoshop a cow onto that picture, man.
You want to talk about shitty cards?
Let's talk about shitty cards.
Outlast.
Oh, Outlast.
All right. Outlast is an ability that's only done as a sorcery. You pay the Outlast cost, which is between like 1 and 3 or whatever. Tap the creature also. Put a 1-1 counter on this creature. That's it. You have to pay mana as a sorcery and tap it. So it can't attack, can't block, just to put a counter on it. What? I know that... And the mechanic it's going for is, like, the counter means more than just a counter. Yeah. It, like, triggers other abilities. But who fucking cares? Like, you can't... if it was instant speed, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Maybe we can trick someone and, like, give something first strike before they do it or whatever.
Counters to, like, everybody.
Yeah,
or...
but this is...
That'd be too broken.
It's pretty bad.
Well, that's like me and Morph, though. Like, Morph, I kind of enjoy... No. Like, there's maybe one Morph card that I might like... But other than that, I don't really see myself playing Morph.
What's the minus? What's the black one? It's -2/-2 Scry one. What is that one?
Oh, I don't even know.
The sorcery
in
speed,
this set?
No. The one from like Born of the Gods or Theros or whatever.
Oh, Drown and Sorrow.
Yeah, you know I mean, Drown and Sorrow. Just play some of this three toughness or higher. And anyone that has a Morph strategy, just keep one of those on your sideboard and be like, there you go, take it out. See you later.
Dude, I have three in my sideboard just for all the fucking aggro decks. Like. Sure, aggro decks are, like, rampant right now in this little 3-month grace period, and they were starting to pick up speed before M15 came out. But, like, just the rabble decks, dude. Drown and Sorrow destroys them.
Well, All-Star now, yeah.
Remember, I watched you play a game online, and you had two of them. And so this guy was playing the boss, fucking Sly or whatever it was. This guy was going, and he had a good-ass hand.
Yeah.
Motherfucker was bringing out, like, 4 creatures on turn 3 or 5 creatures or whatever. He was attacking in, and the Hasters would, like, swing in, but then when it came to your turn, you just wiped the board.
Yeah.
And then you wiped it again. And then you had, like, another spell for his last creature, and he just conceded.
Yeah.
He didn't even, like, he was at 20.
Yeah.
And you didn't even attack him.
Yeah, I was at, like, 12. Yeah, I was at 12 or something, and he just conceded because he had, like, he was just going to top deck the rest of the game.
And then you're going to bring in a Planeswalker, and he can't do anything about it. It's a done deal. It was just really funny.
Because, like, those decks are very lethal, but if you have, like, one consistent answer for them, they're done.
So, you know what? Let me mention something. Okay, so let's go through the mechanics, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
We got mechanics for each one. So we talked about Outlast. We mentioned Delve. Delve, if we didn't mention what it does, it's basically the spell is one colorless cheaper for every card you exile out of your graveyard.
But
kind of like Convoke or something like that. So you just have to look at your graveyard before you cast it. Then you go ahead and choose which card you want. You exile those cards, and it'll make your spell cheaper. So all the Delve spells are like 8 and 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Cost a million. But if you have... 7 cards in your graveyard, it only costs 2, so
the one card I wanted to talk about Talk a bird.
Oh, I still want to go through mechanics, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, but this pertains to Delph.
Delph, good job.
So each card you exile from your graveyard while casting the spell pays for one colorless, which means they cannot interact with your graveyard because it's the Delph is a part of the casting cost.
Exactly. Just like sacking a creature, it's part of the casting cost.
Yes. But also, I just want to, as we're on Delph, Murderous Cut. 4 and a black, destroy target creature.
Right.
Easily you could pay 1 black and destroy target creature.
Yes, you could.
That is very powerful.
It is, it is. And 4 creatures out of your graveyard is not that big a deal.
And it's not creatures, it's just cards.
Or 4 cards, I mean, I'm sorry.
So there's lots of ways to get cards in your graveyard. I think this is one of the better Delph cards. Somebody was saying that it might see play in Eternal formats just because being able to kill a creature for 1 black is just crazy. Or a black. Next mechanic, we already talked about Raid.
Yeah, let's talk about Morph. And now it's not going to be constructed playable, but it's limited fun. Like, you draft it in limited just to have fun.
You know, I think there's going to be like 1 or 2, maybe 3 Morph cards that see constructed play. And the only thing that sucks about that is when you put the fucker for a 2/2, like, they're going to be like, okay, there's like 1 of 3 cards
that. Yeah, exactly. Whatever colors you're playing, they're going to know your strategy.
Yeah.
You know, generally.
So that's going to suck. But Morph, you may cast this card face down as a 2/2 creature for 3 colorless mana. Turn it face up anytime for its Morph cost. So, for example, Pinewalker, which is 3 colorless, forest for a 5/5, you can, you know, pay 3 colorless, put it on the battlefield as a 2/2, and then you pay the morph cost, which is 4 colorless in a forest, and you turn it up. And some of the morph cards have an ability or a trigger that happens when you turn them face up. So this one has, whenever Pinewalker or another creature you control is turned face up, untap that creature.
You like that?
I'm talking about. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Wait, yeah, so I just want to touch on Morph real quick.
Did you just point to that card?
This card.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Anyways, Morph, I don't...
Yourself.
You know, I don't feel like it's... I mean, it could be constructed, but I don't know. I don't really like Morph. It was a mechanic that they played it that was in the past. They'd used at one point, and now they're bringing it back as a recurring mechanic. I mean, it's... It seems cool, but I still don't understand, like, the whole mechanic. Like, can I look at my face down card?
And,
like,
you can look at your own face down card. Can I take a peek,
like, make sure I'm, like, paying the right cost?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not morphing for, like, 18 mana or something like that. But anyways, yeah. There's another mechanic called, was it Ferocious?
Yes.
Which essentially says, it just means if you have a creature, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, I think that's most of them are 4 or greater.
All of them are 4 or greater.
I think that's
all
the whole mechanic. So that's the mechanic. So essentially, Ferocious means if you control a creature that has toughness or power 4 or greater, then something happens, like X happens, like better. So
yeah, well, as you cast it.
As you cast it. So
yeah,
this is one called, I like this card, personally. It's going to be a sideboard card for me, because I play Nylia's Disciple against a burn decks, which is pretty much it. I think it's a 3/2 or something like that.
Is that the one where you gain life?
Where you gain life to your devotion to green.
Right.
So that's pretty much to, like, you know, offset all the burn cards that are out there. But this card, it's called Feed the Clan. It's a 1 colorless, 1 green. It's an instant speed card. You gain 5 life.
Whoa!
What?
What?
Game over! Game over!
Well, I know. The 5 line, right? That's so good. That's so
good. Oh, wait. I still have this 5/5 demon over on my side.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to die next turn anyways. So. Yeah, I don't really, you know, life gain is like what they call like a newbie mechanic or like a newbie, I don't know. It's something that like new players like, oh, I can gain life. I love life. We gain more life.
And then in reality, it's not that great.
Yeah, it delays your turn.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't change, like, if you're losing, it's not going to change you from losing.
It's like a fog effect almost. It's like, slower. You didn't die this turn, good. But next turn, you will.
Yeah, there's nothing. It doesn't do anything.
It does help against burn decks.
It does help. This is the whole main reason I'm bringing this up, is this: if the burn's like a big thing, or like, you know, crazy aggro decks, or a big thing where they get you down super low, and then they just finish you off with a 1 or 2 burn spells, right, this may come in handy.
And that makes sense.
So, Feed the Clan is 2 mana. It says you gain 5 life. That's it. But it has the Ferocious ability. So, if you control, you gain 10 life instead of 5 life if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. So not only you get 10 life for 2 mana, that's kind of a big deal. Against burn, that's kind of a big deal. Against those aggro decks, especially in a mid-range deck where you're looking to stabilize. Well, I mean, that's the whole reason why you bring this Nylea's Disciple in your sideboard. This is not a main deck card. This is a card you put in your sideboard.
Maybe just,
I think I need a couple more minutes of explaining.
Well, 10, I mean, come on, let's see. Let's see how much mana does a burn player have to spend to do 10 damage?
No, that makes more sense. When you talk that kind of knowledge, then we're talking that kind of way, fine, but there's not a lot of burn anymore. It might come back, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I get it.
Burn's not like that huge, but I mean,
I think the Disciple's better because it can attack them afterwards.
It's a body that can
block. It is a body. But I like this if, you know, as instead of a maybe like a one of or a two of just to have to offset.
If you know what, I'll shake your hand if you beat me. If you beat me with that card, I'll be like, oh shit. Oh shit.
Because essentially you just want to stabilize. On like a mid range deck, especially against burn, you want to stabilize. You already have the fatties. You have the fatties, you just don't have time and you don't have the life.
But it takes a spot though. That's a Sylvan Carrion's tit spot right there.
Yeah, but usually out of like a mid range, like if you're fighting a burn again, like if you're a mid range deck and you're fighting burn, you're pretty much bringing out like probably like maybe a Lucranos.
Taking out your top end.
Yeah, you're taking out like maybe the Storm Breaths that aren't, you know, they're 5 mana, that's not going to do too
much.
Well,
I mean, you know what Feed the Clan is good for? You know, if your table's kind of wobbly, you can like fold it up and put it underneath.
Is it uncommon? Is it uncommon?
No, it's a common.
It's a common. That's a good common card.
All right. We get it. Yeah, good common. We have to tease you.
Take it easy.
I like it.
I'm getting all ferocious about it.
There's some other good...
I can tell he's all nervous right now. He's sweating, Reg.
Yeah, I'm like swampy right now from all this ridicule. But no, I personally like it for a sideboard
that
card.
Makes sense for the burn. Because
I like the ferocious mechanic.
It does take away like two of their cards with one card. Because two burn spells, four...
But you do have to have that 4 power creature out there. To begin with, to activate. Well, otherwise, it's just a dead card.
No, it's nice because
in response to, they can burn you and kill your creature too. If they really feel that way, they're like, "Well, I have this burn spell in my hand. Now that when you play that on the stack, they're going to go and kill that creature that would activate that card.
Yeah,
activate that mechanic.
You know what? That's pretty much what you do though when you're going up against burn and you do have a lot of top end. Like in my discard deck, I bring in the black. Deal 2 damage, target creature, gain 2 life. Mm-hmm. You know, just because that's what you need to kind of push you over the edge to beat
that. Or just
get
you out of that last 3 mana or 3 damage burn spell, you know?
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think about this? Hardened Scales. Hardening Scales.
Is that the last mechanic?
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Sorry. There's.
We're giving so much shit, man.
Prowess.
Prowess.
So, prowess.
Yeah, let's talk
whenever
about
you
prowess.
Cast a non creature spell. Well, we'll get to it later, though.
What a
well,
blue.
Not really. Not really.
Blue
it won't
ability.
Be that.
It is very blue.
Whenever you cast a non creature spell this turn, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So, it just pumps up your stuff if you cast a non creature spell. 1/1/1/1. It's just fine, but not game-winning. It's not, like, changing anything. It's not affecting other things.
It's a very control mechanic, you know, to where either you get, like, you have a couple creatures out that are just pinging away, and then you use a counter spell or whatever. Or maybe, like, I don't know, maybe in the burn deck? Fuck if I know. Like, you know, you do a... 2 burn spells, all of a sudden your guys have fucking 2-1-1 counters.
Remember that one, the guy that's is modern playable, he's like the 1/4, but he gets +3/+0 for every time you cast a instant or sorcery. There's a burn deck that plays that guy. So then he's a 2-mana 1/4. Like I just said, you every time you cast something. So then you burn your player for 3. No, it's okay. Burn your player for 3, and then you get to attack for 4. And you know, or you burn them for 6 if you have 2 cards, and then you attack for 7. That's pretty good.
I think it's gonna be better than Outlast.
I'm pretty sure it'll be on that list.
But I don't think it's particularly a mechanic I want to play with, though.
Okay, so, Hardened Scales, right? 1-mana enchantment.
I like this card.
If one or more +1/+1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many counters +1 are placed on it instead.
You know what I like about this card? Is that it's rare.
Because why? Because you don't want it to be anything... You want it to be rare?
No, because I don't know why they would make this rare.
Oh, you don't think it's good enough for rare?
No, I don't think it's good
enough for
rare.
Oh, okay.
It's taking up a rare slot.
Gotcha. So this is my life gain then. Give me the ridicule. This is my time to defend my card.
Like, okay. If Simic was more of a thing, then maybe...
This is better than Simic, almost. Like, this is... Not better than Simic, but I mean, like, it's...
And the Simic to the core.
This Abzan is all about counters. And, like, a Johnny Steadfast... he puts a +1 counter on all your creatures. Now he puts 2, and he puts a loyalty counter on your planeswalker, you know, with that same ability. Yeah. So you use him. You, all these guys, all the Outlast things now do 2, which Outlast is going to suck, but there's a lot of these things. Just like the main guy for Abzan, he puts... I'm going up way too far. He puts, whenever he attacks, he puts a +1 counter on target creature. Now he puts 2. Okay. Everything that he does, it's pumping your creatures for 2, no matter what you do.
I mean, it is costed well.
We don't have, like, the fucking Archangel of Thune anymore and shit like that, but still, there's a lot of shit. Even, like, the enchantment that comes out. When it comes out, it puts a +1 counter on everything, now it puts 2. Ajani's ability every time, like I said, everything is...
Yeah, Ajani's Pride Mate.
Yeah, brings out... Yeah,
exactly. I guess it is one mana,
life,
so...
Life game. So, it's good. I think it's good.
I think that card makes Prowess and Outlast a little bit better.
Prowess don't work. It's not counter. It's
just that's right. It makes Outlast a little bit better. So it's going to be a green, white, blue sort of thing, probably?
It falls under the green, white, black. It falls under Sol. No. Abzan. That's what it falls under. That's what the clan part it is. So, I just think that it falls into what it's supposed to be doing. Like, all these cards in Abzan are all like, when it enters the battlefield, distribute 2 1/1 counters among creatures you control. So now you put 1 on each creature, and now it's 2. You know, this vanilla creature, this uncommon creature, now it puts 4 counters on stuff. You know what I mean? It's pretty...
Well, they were talking about it might even be modern playable.
I think it's modern playable, too, yeah. I would think so. For one, everyone, that's what they're looking for.
No, I say definitely yes for modern. I don't know.
Just because there's like a... I think it's mono green. I'm not sure. Don't quote me because I just know this information because other podcasts talk about it. But there's like a green machine deck or fucking something to where...
It might put mono green on the... Definitely on the map.
It's the fucking experiment one. And then you bring out something else. And then all of a sudden the experiment one can regenerate, you know? On the turn it's attacking.
Right.
It's kind of huge. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, I personally...
It's an interesting card.
For like, here's a more rough one, then, maybe. I think this is a little worse, but maybe you guys think it's better. There's the same... Abzan has the same thing. It's another 1-mana enchantment. Pay 1 swamp. Remove X 1/1 counters from among creatures you control. Like, every creature. You have to remove this many counters from all your creatures. Target creature gets -X/-X till end of turn. So it's a removal way. You, like, boost up your counters, and then you remove all the counters to kill one
thing. So you can, like, pick and choose, like, 2 counters from that guy, 1 counter from that guy, 5 counters from that guy.
I mean, yes. Yeah, you can choose. I'm sorry, it's not every creature. It's in that way, yeah. So it is... You get to do that. And that's kind of cool that you get to bump up and then pull it out. Like, that's... They did that a little bit in the Simic stuff, you know what I mean? So that's kind of cool, but... I don't know. Maybe
that's cool
not.
For, like... I always thought that was Black's way of getting around, like, indestructible, you know, creatures. Mm-hmm. But we have Utter End, so it's kind of like, whatever, you know? Yeah. Because we can just exile them instead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, indestructible
doesn't matter. Green's hexproof or anything like that. But.
So what do you guys think? Is that one meh?
I like the green one better than that one.
Yeah, I like the green one better.
Yeah, too, I don't really like that one. Speaking about probably not playable black cards...
Go on.
Let's talk about... The one to rule them all, and I'm stalling so I can find it. Empty the Pits.
Which one's that one? I don't even know. I probably just glazed over that one.
XX, black,
oh,
black.
Oh, is that the delve, though?
Delve. Put X22 black zombie creature tokens on the battlefield. Tapped.
I know. With haste, you mean, right? Oh, no.
They're tapped with haste.
There was no way.
Tapped with haste.
So
no,
maybe like in my... Because they...
Tapped with haste, that'd be great. I love that.
There's pretty much this type of card in almost every set.
Yeah, where was that?
Like, you can put a lot of them out.
Army of the Damned or whatever they had before.
Yeah, I think that one was even
that
more
was better.
Obtainable.
That was 13.
More better.
That was more better.
Way more better.
13 2-2 zombies.
Yeah. But... I don't know. I think, you know, maybe in my zombie EDH deck. But
EDH for sure, right?
Yeah.
Like, it has to be...
There's just stupid things you can do to probably abuse it, you know?
But standard?
Not standard. It would have to be, like, the most control... Because Sultai's looking pretty control-y, you know what I mean? Like, that's looking like a good control deck. But, yeah, that's pretty rough, though.
You want to talk about good cards?
Yeah. What about Planeswalkers?
There's a blue card that's really good.
Oh,
it's two blue, one colorless, called Cancel.
counters
target spell.
It does its job, though.
That is a really good card.
I like that art, though.
Oh, that, I know that. The new Cancel is, like, it's fucking amazing art. It's so good. Let's talk about some Teamer stuff, because that is what I'm all about.
Boner.
So there is a Nickelback Silverback card that's coming out. It is...
Best music ever.
Yeah, they have the greatest music. Where the hell it was? I'm trying to find it here.
It's all to the top. Yeah, it's top.
All the way to the top. Right. Yeah, it's getting me up there. But essentially, it's Teamer colors, so it's a 3-mana for a 4-4. So it's green, red, blue. It is a 4-4 body. But it's reminiscent of like Aetherling, kind of where it has just all these abilities you can activate for mana. So it has three separate mana abilities you can activate on it. The one that's most notable is you pay one red, and the Savage Knuckleblade gains haste until end of turn. So essentially, you can cast this guy for 4 mana and have a 4/4 haster, which is awesome.
How is that not playable?
You know this is mean? This would be like probably an automatic like 3 or 4 of in my deck. Just to having the ramp and being able to produce that amount of mana, and probably being able to get that 3-colored mana on turn 3 or 4 easily. I'm definitely playing for these. But the other good ability on this is you can pay 2 colors and a green, and Savage Knuckleblade gets +2/+2 until end of turn, and activate this. You can only activate this once a turn, so you can't just pump them up to infinity if you have that much mana.
Well, you can do it. It's good that it's not only as a sorcery.
Yeah, you can do it.
Usually, it reads like that.
So you can trade profitably, or you know, block profitably just by making this guy 6/6 for an additional 3 mana, which is really good.
But what happens when they try to Doomblade?
They want to Doomblade it?
Yeah, what happens
they
then?
They want to just, like, you know, exile it or something like that?
Yeah, unrend that fucker.
Well,
what
there's
then?
A third little ability attached on this guy.
What?
It's rather blue. It is...
Rather.
It's rather blue. It's 2 colorless and a blue, so it's 3 mana, and you may return Savage Knuckleblade to its owner's hand. So you could put it back in your hand, like, oh, you're going to utter end my Savage Blade? I have 3 open mana. I'm just going to go ahead and put that back in my hand, and then next turn, I'm going to... Play it, pay him for 4 mana, and haste him in there again.
Yep.
So he's the ultimate asshole.
Whenever I get Nickelback, I always want to return it.
Yeah, return it. Just return that back. Do you take returns?
Just take it.
It's only 3 mana to return this thing. That's perfect. Get it out of here.
This guy is like a bread and butter Teamer. Like, he is everything you want him to be and more. And I love this card.
Yeah, I'm
going to marry
it.
I'm getting a divorce, and I'm going to marry this card.
I'm a little upset that I can't play this guild because you're playing this guild. So
but yeah, that guy is like, when I saw that guy, I was like, yep, I love red green already, but this seals the deal. It solidifies
deal.
My. And there's also another one, which is the, if you go down a little more, it's the Mystic, the Runeclaw, Rattleclaw Mystic. It's a 1/2, but it also, it's pretty much just like a better Elvish Mystic or whatever, but the Noble Hierarchs. Well, essentially, it taps for the colors that you want, the Teamer colors. So it's pretty much a 2 mana. It's 1 colorless, 1 green. It's a 2/1 body, and you can tap it for green, blue, or red.
So I want to ask though,
but
is this better? Is this better than Caryatid?
No.
No.
And it fills up your 2 mana spot, so would you play 3 Caryatids and like 2 of these?
No.
You're not going to play it then?
I might not going to play it. I might play him if Morph becomes good, because this guy has Morph, so you can cast him, if you pay the Morph cost, which is 3 mana, you can play him as a 2/2 upside down, and then when you pay his Morph cost, which I think is an additional 2 to Morph him, he not only does he flip back to a 2/1, but he also adds a green, blue, and red to your mana pool.
And then you can
tap him for another. So you're essentially getting 4 mana for paying, you know, 2 colorless.
Yeah, really, what? It's...
You're getting 2 additional mana.
You're paying 1 mana, right? You pay 3 to put him out.
Yeah.
And then you pay 2 to flip him. And then you get 3 when you flip him, and you can also tap him for 1.
Yeah,
more.
So if you did that all in one step...
Then you'd lose a mana. Then you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't...
Unless you needed the mana fixing...
Yeah,
because you wanted those colors, but you'd be paying essentially 5 for 4.
I don't think you wouldn't flip them. You wouldn't flip them
on
the
same
turn.
Turn.
You'd flip
no,
them
no,
the
no,
next
no.
turn.
Yeah, not on the same turn. But I'm saying, pretty much, this guy, essentially, in the end,
so on turn
after
three,
all this shit happens, he costs 1 mana because he's giving you 4 back for all this flipping and putting him out as a 2/2.
Yes, I guess, yes. He costs 1 mana, yeah. If he costs 5, then he gives 4, then yes, he costs 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's very slow and kind of janky.
More importantly, though, in that turn, you only pay 2, and then you get four from it. And not only is it four, you get to get all your mana fixing in, because when you want to flip them, you're going to have to pay for Temur spell, which costs all different colors.
Yeah,
if so you it's only good have some, if you only have here. Some fucking forests out because your hand wasn't your opening hand wasn't so great, this guy can now bring out your ascendancy or your fucking bear puncher dude or whatever.
Yeah, my bear puncher or my nickelback claw, you know, whatever.
You need to stop saying that. I cringe every time.
But no, I mean, this nickelback claw is definitely, it's in the fucking record books, nickelback claw.
But this guy's good. I mean, it's really Christmaslandy though, because like you can have those explosive turn threes where you can get like cheat out like a storm breath or, you know, something weird. But I mean, it's just too situational.
Dude, I would rather play the.
But it is a good card.
I'd rather play the 2/1 for two for a colorless and a red. That when you sack them, you get to get it gives two colorless mana, and then if it's used for a creature, it gets haste.
Oh, the generator servant.
Generator servant.
Yeah, he's
that,
really nice
because that gives haste, and you're already getting what this is giving you. You're not getting the mana fixing, but you're getting the same amount of mana. You're getting two mana, just like this one is.
Yeah.
So you're getting two mana that adds haste. This is just two mana.
But I do like this card.
I'd rather have Caryatid. It just feels safer. You know what I mean? It has hexproof, and
I can block the early stuff.
Yeah,
this can't. You can't block.
And you can tap it. This feels like a little bit more janky, a little bit slower, but the payoff is greater. You know what I mean? Like it's more explosive payoff.
Yeah, this is maybe like the bird for like one less. You know, the Birds of Paradise. It's like that a little bit. Because the mana fixing is all your mana you're using anyway, so it's kind of like it's any color. It's kind of like the bird for one more without flying, which is not saying anything good about it, really. But at least it's there. It is all the colors you need. Oh, the Mantis?
Yeah, that's another good card I like out of the set. It's a reprint.
Is it?
And it's, oh, well,
shit. I don't know that.
In spirit, it's kind of like a reprint. It's not an actual reprint, but there is another card.
Same text on
it. There is another card that... So the Mantis Raider is the Sultai, I think, or Jeskai colors.
Jeskai.
It's a blue, red, and a white, so it's 3 mana for a 3/3 body, but it has vigilance, flying, and haste.
Oh, the flavor of that, because blue is flying and red.
Yeah, so it's very just like plain, like for a wedge color card. It's really just like... No thought really went into it. They're like, oh, we'll just give it each one of the, you know, the colors, abilities.
But it's powerful.
But it's really good. And there's another, I think it's like an angel that does this, that has the same flying, vigilance, and haste. I think it's a 3/3 body, too.
Uh-huh.
But it's essentially that. But, I mean, this is, like, all around, great card. For 3 mana, having a 3/3 for flying, vigilance, and haste. If it had lifelink, it'd be crazy. But
dude, that Mantis Rider is nuts.
It's really good, though.
Good art, right?
Good art.
Yeah, if I was playing those colors,
it's probably going to be a sweet foil.
Yeah, I bet it will be a sweet foil. But so it's a good card. I mean, if I was playing the colors,
yeah,
I'd
definitely be running those.
Three of probably. Yeah,
it's kind of one of those cards that's like, okay, it's not the best card in the world, but it's best in that slot.
I think this guy limited, he's going to be a house.
Oh yeah, sure house. Who doesn't want flyers in limited anyways?
And vigilance flyer. Vigilance and flying. Please? That's like cream of the crop.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. So. I don't know. We pretty much touched a lot of the main ones, I think. I mean, there's a lot to go through.
There is
a
ton of nice
cards. But a lot of it's shit, you know, like this fucking... What about that one green creature that, like, when it attacks, you exile it, and then you bring it in next turn attacking? You remember that?
Oh,
that's... Like, what is going on here?
That's one of those cards that they just got to print some bad cards, you know? Yeah,
fill up some rare spots, dude.
But, I mean, like, you could just use it as a blocker. This eternal blocker.
I like the... I mean, I was going through the commons when they released everything. I mean, it's really good limited. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing this limited as much as I can.
And there's... You know what? Like I was saying before, the Sultai, they got some really good shit, but it just feels a little janky. But I'll mention the Villainous Wealth. It's a X... Black, green, blue for a sorcery. Target opponent exiles the top X cards of his or her library. You may cast any number of non-land cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them without paying their mana cost. So end game.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying, it's very... The Sultai is looking very control-y. You know, you have a shitload of mana. Just fucking cast it. You get, what, you know, 7... of their cards, five of their cards, and you can just cast them whenever. Not like till end of turn or fuck it, whatever.
As long as they're exiled, right?
As long as they're... Or it doesn't even say that. You may cast any number of non-land cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them without paying their mana cost. End of story.
Okay. So just adds to your hand, basically, without paying mana cost. That's cool.
But I think it's just a very badass card. Have we talked about the motherfucking Dragon Man yet?
No, we have not.
Sarkin.
Sarkhan Vol. Whatever his name is. What's his name?
Sarkhan Vol.
Is it, yeah, something like that, right?
Vol or Vol? I don't know. Doesn't
something
matter.
Like that.
But anyways, he is a badass planeswalker.
So I, before we talk about him, the two planeswalkers that came out, their previous iterations were kind of like, meh, you know?
Oh, yeah, Sorin.
Sorin and Sarkhan, they were just kind of like, meh, whatever. I mean, they're all right in certain situations, but I feel like Sarkhan is the shit, and it's a much better iteration, and Sorin's all right. But let's talk about Sarkhan.
It's a plus one, too. That's a fucking plus one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That ability's a plus one.
How much does it cost?
Five.
Still, though,
Three red.
The question is, does this fill up the dragon, Stormbreath dragon spot?
If you're playing Stormbreath and you're playing this guy,
Indestructible Haste 4-4.
I would probably cut two Stormbreaths for two of these guys. If I was going to be playing that.
I concur.
But if I'm playing a lot of white guys, like Abzan, I would keep my Stormbreaths. Pro White is just so good.
It is. Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this gentleman is definitely a house to be reckoned with.
And the monstrosity of Stormbreath. Don't forget that.
But this, I mean, for what he is, I just like planeswalkers that turn themselves into creatures. That's just, like, amazing. Like, what was it? Gideon?
Gideon
did that. I like Gideon.
Read that, motherfucker.
All right. So, plus one. Until end of turn, Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker becomes a legendary 4/4 red dragon creature with flying, indestructible, and haste. He does not lose loyalty while he's not a planeswalker. Minus three. He deals four damage to target creature.
That's good.
Minus three is a lot, but you know what? Minus two means you have to use it twice, and it'd be a fucking five mana to do four damage twice. That's kind of beastly, so don't do that. Here's something interesting about these planeswalkers also, before I get to the ultimate. The ultimate's only two away. So they both of them serve as fours for loyalty, and then both of their ultimates are at minus six. So first turn it goes to five, second turn goes to six, third turn it goes to... You get to ultimate it if you want, if you care to. So the ultimate is you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your draw step, draw two additional cards, and at the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. So I would love to go up to seven, minus six them, and then keep this thing on the board. That would be really, really good. And then you can just go ahead and play all your super fast red shit, you know what I mean, from drawing those cards. And By the time you bring this thing out anyways, you probably don't have much card fixing, so you probably, those two cards are probably all you need. You know,
well, it's like red doesn't care because it usually has low casting cost shit.
Yeah, just draw three,
so it doesn't matter,
spend it, and who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you discard shit because you'll probably just be casting all of it.
Yep. So I think it's good, but I don't feel like I'd want to go to his minus six right away. I think I'd want to keep him at, go to seven, and then minus six, and then use him as a dragon after that, I feel like.
I think that
depending on how the game's going.
I think the indestructible dragon, and just the fact that your opponent is going to want to attack the shit out of him and ignore you for a couple turns, the planeswalker equity, as some people call it, that's just invaluable. Like, you can play a shitty planeswalker. Like, I would play fucking the shitty Liliana from, like, M14. And people would attack it just because it's like, oh no, a planeswalker, I don't want her to do crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sweet, don't attack me for two turns and fucking mm-hmm. try and kill her. That's awesome.
And you still get to use the ability once or twice.
And this is actually good planeswalker, so you get fucking both sides.
Yep.
If this guy was printed, like, last set, or like, you know, in Dragon's Maze, oh, like, not Dragon's Maze, but,
We don't say those words.
Dragon's
Maze, no dragon.
But if, like, that card was printed in Atheros, like, I would have been, like, four of for sure, because just indestructibility against, like, all the mono black and stuff like that, and all the Supreme Verdicts out there. But now, since, like, a lot of that good stuff's going away, like, I'd still rather have Stormbreath.
So, lastly, Sorin, Solemn Visitor. Plus one. Until end of turn, creatures you control get plus one, plus zero, and gain lifelink.
Read that again, good sir.
Until end of turn, creatures you... What?
Try one more time.
Until end of turn. Until your next turn.
Until
Thank
your
you.
Next
yes, 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 yes. You're right.
Which
you're right.
Is a big difference.
It is a big difference. You're right. I'm sorry. Until your next turn. You just get used to reading it one way.
Yeah, I know.
So that's the plus one, which is sweet. Minus two, put a 2/2 black vampire creature with flying onto the battlefield. Token. Minus six, you get an emblem with at the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, that player sacrifices a creature. Which is fine. But, you know, with a lot of creatures out, it's kind of a creature set, so maybe it won't do crazy things, but maybe it will. You never know.
I think there's going to be a lot of tokens, so it's not going to matter all that much to get his emblem.
Yeah.
But I think
that plus one is really, like, the shit.
I think that if you bring him out, I kind of feel like you want a minus two to bring out to protect or whatever, and then plus one after that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. That's kind of my thing. I think the ultimate on this card is sick, but I think that I'd rather just... It depends where the game's at, of course. Anytime I talk about anything like this, it depends where the game's at. But I kind of like the minus two, and I think that then after that, you can go ahead and start gaining your life back or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think it's nice because if you're trying to win the race and you just play him and then plus one and then swing in with your guys, who cares if they attack him next turn? Like, you're not only are they attacking him, so your life total isn't getting affected, you just gain life. So yeah, it's like you're up on the race. Or if you need somebody to block, you know, especially evasion, so you can minus two, that's nice. And his ultimate is, it's all right.
I like it because of the dick ultimate. It's like, you have the sacrifice creature every turn.
But also, like you guys were saying earlier, it's really easily attainable, the ultimate.
It is. It's only three away, two away, however you want to see it.
So it's not that overpowered, but just that you can get to it that much faster makes it a little bit more tantalizing.
Yes, I like indeed. The Sorin more than the last Sorin.
Fair enough. Absolutely.
But that's a good card too. But
it's not that much of a change from the last Sorin, right? They just kind of like flipped a couple of the abilities, around. But I, you know, people have been talking a lot of shit on Sorin, and for some reason I really want to play him in my Mardu deck, which is probably counterintuitive, but I want to try it.
Screw it.
Whatever.
So, I gotta get out of here pretty soon, so. We can talk about these cards for the rest of the fucking night.
Oh, there's
but,
so many.
I mean, there's still more to talk about, but you guys got a good gist of what we're interested in. I know I'm going Abzan and Mr. Knife's going Mardu, and then we got Mr. Timur or whatever
the
over here.
Lemur Teamers.
Timur!
So we're all going to pick our guild, and we're going to go into the pre-release and go fucking at it and see what happens.
So we have time for a noob knowledge?
But we need to get on to noob's knowledge.
Noob's knowledge!
I do enjoy some noob's knowledge. What do we have for today on our topic of noob's knowledge?
Okay, guys. Well... looking at one of these...
let's say anything at all.
Let's say you're looking at one of these clans, and you just don't know what to fucking make. Like, it's just very daunting to look at all these mechanics, and what's going to work together, and yada, yada, yada. So, maybe you want to, like, go on the internet and look at what other people are doing, or maybe you just want to go... look at what decks are winning the most and straight up copy them because...
What if you just want to play that tier 1 deck?
Exactly.
Someone already figured it out, right? So what's going on here?
Why waste your brain power because Smarty McFucking Pants Inkton over there figured it out? So let's talk about net decking.
What is net decking?
What is net decking?
There's a net in there.
Yeah, you're fishing and you're picking up like lobsters
throwing
and crabs
out the net.
And then you get those lobsters, and then those are your creatures while you play.
And you put them in the deck. So net decking essentially is taking a pre-constructed deck list off the internet or from whatever source you go to, and constructing that deck pretty much. And usually, what net decking has like it kind of generated like a negative negative connotation where people are kind of like. Well, now everyone has access to the internet, and like you know, the metagames are able to be kind of deciphered and like solved very quickly, just from the vast amount of people that you know can put out their ideas and like the different like you know.
Before we had to wait for like Nintendo Power.
We needed like you know
fucking our ideas of how to play. Yeah.
Or like little strategy guides we had to buy the day of we bought the game to actually like you know figure out the stuff. But now that the internet is such a vast and awesome resource that a lot of people are able to kind of figure these things out really quickly. And so net decking essentially is just going to a site, which I go to personally, is mtggoldfish.com, which is one of the, it's like a kind of a price tracking as well as a deck tracking website where you can go and actually find what decks are playing on MTGO right now, or Magic the Gathering Online. And it actually gives, because Magic Online has like events, the daily events that play every day and everything like that, and they take all that information from the daily events and they put it into like kind of a meta game where you can see like, oh, I want to see what the best standard decks right now are playing online, and you can actually see what those the decks winning did. Decks yeah. are. So you can see if they went 4-0 or 3-0, like 3-1, or you know whatever their win ratio was.
So, like you were saying, there is a negative connotation for net decking. You know, it's kind of like
it takes the creativity out of the whole experience.
Yeah, because I mean, that's, you know, some people like the creativity, and some people just like to win. That's where they find their fun. And you know, who are we to say that they are wrong for doing it?
I am. Yeah, some people just like you know, Hot Sauce just likes throwing janky stuff together, making his own brews. You know,
janky's a perfect word.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes it works, and then
doing this crazy stuff, like trying to think out of the box. And some people just want to, like, you know what? I want the end all be all best deck right now. What is it?
But I don't think net decking is strictly just copy paste. You know, I think there's different levels of it. So let's talk about the winning.
What's wrong with me?
Let's talk about the winning net deck. So basically, like Reich was saying, there's websites out there that will tell you what decks came in the top 8 and what cards they had in their deck. Whether it's Magic Online or whether it's a PTQ or any sanctioned sanctioned Wizard event.
Behind Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. In Mom's basement, you know. So
Mom's bedroom.
Mom,
yeah. I always been there.
You wish you could top 8 her.
But yeah.
So there's plenty of websites out there. You know what? I'll try and put the link in the show notes. I forget the actual website, but it's like Magic Top 8 or...
Yeah, I think it's Magic Top 8.
Magic Top 8 or something
MTG
like that.
MTG Top 8, I think.
MTG Top 8, something like that. Better. And it will show you, along with the Magic Online events, it'll show you PTQs, it'll show you Grand Prix, Pro Tour... Fucking whatever. It'll show you all the top 8 and all the deck lists. MTG Goldfish is another good place just to see. Like,
that's I'd say Goldfish is the best one if you're playing Magic Online, like, primarily. Because that's the meta. It's different between... Like, if you want to get competitive and you want to be, like, competitive in the, you know, in Magic and the meta and everything like that, there's two different separate ones. There's the online meta, which is vastly... Well, not vastly, but it is pretty different from the in-store meta. So if you're like, you want to play competitive online, you might see more like cheaper red decks, you know, those kind of things that are really like up there. And if you go to like in-store tournaments, you might see more of like the control or, you know, whatever it is it happens to be. But yeah, definitely I do suggest Goldfish, MTG Goldfish, if you're strictly looking for net decks for online.
You can see what I do. I use TCGplayer.com. Mm-hmm. Where we buy our cards from, they have a standard, well, they have whatever, but standard deck database, metagame. Met game decks based on top 8 frequency. It shows like Mono Black Devotion has hit the top 8 76 times, Mono Blue 62 times, and then you click on the link and it'll bring up what was most recent, and then you can click on that and then you'll see what their deck was. And so that's what I use. I understand the other ones are probably better, but I get everything I need from right here. So,
you know, there's and also what you can do is like follow pro players on Twitter or Facebook, because they're always posting deck lists or new stuff they came up with that are like the fucking tits. But I mean, you know, let's say you just don't know what to build. You can just take one of these decks, fucking buy it or build it or whatever, and then you can tweak it as you see fit, or you can just, you know, not to knock a quickness, but, you know, he sees what deck is winning, and he fucking plays it, and it's a fucking good deck, because that shit fucking wins.
Yeah, it totally wins.
Or
he's
like,
hard to play against. I mean, that shit owns.
Yeah, it's very difficult to play against fucking his decks. What I like to do is, you know, I'm more on the brewing side, and I don't know if it's the punk rocker in me, but I don't like to, you know, what's in the top 8?
You don't want to conform to the top 8?
Yeah, I don't want to conform to the top 8.
Yeah, fucking Charging Badger, please, thank you very much. Yeah. Elspeth, take a back seat.
But what I like to do when I'm brewing, you know, I realize that I'm not the fucking smartest guy out there when it comes to Magic or most other things. So when I'm brewing, I like to go look at other people's decks, not necessarily decks that are winning.
Like a deck voyeur.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, fucking flip that morph card. Oh,
what do you? How many Elspeths do you use?
All he's
in two, you bad deck builder.
Oh, was that Foil Island? Oh, yeah.
You dirty girl. Sorry.
So what... What I like to use,
just I like to take a little peek.
I like to just take a little, you know, little peek.
Tapped Out, usually, right?
Tapped Out. TappedOut.net is what I like to use. That's where anybody can just build their deck and post it up there, and people will comment and make suggestions. I think we mentioned that on other podcasts.
And they let anybody post on there, even if Quickest has... I mean, Night City has one on there.
Yeah. So, I mean, these aren't going to be winning decks. These might not even be decks that the person actually built. They just wanted to go on there and, like, build it and see the statistics that the site gives them. Because it gives you good statistics for what you build.
Converted mana cost.
Converted mana cost, mana base, all that stuff.
Price.
Yeah, price, everything. So, it's very good if you're building a deck. But that's what I like to do, is just kind of... either browse on there and be like, oh, that guy has a good idea, but I kind of want to take it a different way. Or I have my own idea. Oh, this other guy kind of had the same idea. Let me just kind of see, oh, he's using this instead of that. Well, that's a good idea. Oh, he's using that? What a fucking idiot. You know, like, whatever. So these are some very good resources. If you're, you know, like we were both saying, there's kind of two sides to the coin. What do you find more interesting? What tickles your fancy? Do you like to brew? Do you like to be creative? Do you need help being creative? There's one side to that. Do you want to win?
Do you
win?
Have depression? Sometimes you just need an adult.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do you have a drinking problem?
Yeah.
There's people out there to help. Go plus one your drinking problem.
Yeah. I went to Tapped Out and it solved my erectile dysfunction.
Exactly. The EVD? Exactly.
So, to your doctor.
TappedOut.ED.
So there's also the other side where if you just want to find out what's winning, you want to find out what's... or what the metagame is, that's also another thing. You don't have to be copying these decks. You can just see what the metagame is like, you know, in the Magic community. You know, what are people playing a lot of? You know, oh, rabble fucking bastards.
Yeah, now I want to
rabble bastards.
That, rabble that bastards.
Counter rabble bastard.
Yeah, I want to build some.
I want to make arrogant bastard.
So obviously, mono black, according to TCG, is the fucking most frequent in top eight. So you want to build something that's going to fucking destroy it?
Nothing kills mono black. Except mono black.
Like
20 lands and 40 removal spells. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah. So you can, based on the information of what's winning, you can try and build a deck that will combat it in a very efficient way. So these are just, you know, things to keep in mind when you're deck building or when you're thinking about what cards you want to buy or what strategy you want to go to. Also, I mean, this is something we still use. I still use this.
Every day I'm looking at MTG Goldfish.
Every day I'm going to Star City Games and watching the recordings of the tournament from the weekend past.
I have TCG, MTG Goldfish, and Tapped Out all like on my, you know, quick, your favorite bar? Yeah, that's
your
what. That's fucking, you know, and my Internet Explorer.
On my Abacus.
My Netscape. But yeah, so, I mean, these are definitely good resources for anybody to use, whether you're new, old, erectile dysfunction or not.
You can always ask Jeeves, too. He'll tell you what the best decks are. Jeeves always knows.
Jeeves always knows.
And on that bombshell, I think that's all we got, so...
I am tapped out.
Here, you know what? Wait a second.
What? What do you got?
I discovered something.
Whip it out, dude. Whip it out.
Dude, you want to see it?
That's not normal.
Turn three. Infinite.
Please explain.
All right. So there's a deck that, or I should say, just a combo I did not come up with, but I saw online on Tapped
Out. What's the name of the deck?
It's called Pornithopter.
What is that?
Pornithopter.
With a P?
With a P. Okay. Like Ornithopter, but
It's a play on porn.
Because on turn three, you're going to be tapping that million flyer and stroking your dick. That's basically what it is, right? I don't know. Something like that.
If I would have guessed, that would be my assumption.
So, there's this deck that plays... it's a combo with Retraction Helix, Springleaf Drum, Ornithopter, and that's pretty much it, really.
So what
happens is, on turn one, you play your land. You play Ornithopter, which is a zero converted mana cost flyer, 0/2 flyer.
Artifact flyer.
And then you play Springleaf Drum with your one mana, And if you can, tap your Ornithopter, which is you use your drum to tap it and pay to get one mana, and bring out a Triton Shorestalker, which is a unblockable 1/1. Anyway, so you bring out your 0/2 flyer on turn one and Springleaf Drum, because you need a little bit of ramp. This will give you one extra mana on turn two. So turn two, you play your land, so you have two lands and the Springleaf, and you bring out the Jeskai Ascendancy. The Jeskai Ascendancy, whenever you play a non-creature spell, all your creatures untap and get +1/+1 until end of turn. On turn three, you play your land, so you have three lands. You play an artifact that is a... you play an artifact or whatever, a zero mana artifact. When it comes out, it gives your Ornithopter +1/+1, and it untaps it. It was never tapped in the first place. But then you can use it to... You can tap Springleaf Drum and tap Ornithopter or whatever, and... I'm sorry. Let me back up. You can cut this fucking shit right off, okay? On turn three, you play your zero-cost artifact, which is like this crypt that like exiles a graveyard. It doesn't matter. Fucking M15 has a zero-costed
artifact. Tormod's Crypt.
Yeah, Tormod's Crypt. So you play that guy. So now you have this zero thing sitting on the battlefield, right? You play this card called Retraction Helix, and you target your Ornithopter. It what it says is, until end of turn, target creature gains this ability. This ability is tap, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Now, Ornithopter, if you tap him, you get to bring back that zero artifact into your hand, and then you get to cast it again. When you cast it, it untaps Ornithopter while adding a 1/1 counter, so now you have a 1/2 or whatever, or a 2/3, and then you can use them and tap again to return that artifact back to your hand. You play it again. It untaps Ornithopter, adds a 1/1 counter, or not 1/1 counter, but +1 till end of turn. You can just when that happens on the board, you can just tell your opponent, all right, I'm going to do this combo 150 times. So now my Ornithopter will be untapped, ready to attack, and be a 150/152 flyer. And you can swing it for game. You do that all in your first main phase, you swing it for game. Even if he can block that flyer somehow, if on turn one you were able to bring out that Triton Shorestalker, he will also have the same thing. He'll be a 151/151, you know, whatever, as much power and toughness as you need. And that guy's unblockable. So maybe on turn three or turn two they can kill one of your guys, but you're going to have two creatures that are ready to attack and both be million and a million.
Well, not swinging. Both, but you just have to choose one to go with, right? They both be 150.
Yes, they both. Every creature you get untaps and gains +1/+1. Thanks to the Ascendancy. So you're not going to be tapping both to... Because only one of them has the Retraction Helix spell on it. But so you just choose one of those two, go ahead and tap it for infinite, and then they're both untapped, ready to attack at infinite power. One of them's a flyer, one of them is unblockable. If they can kill one, fine. You're going to attack him, whatever. So this is Christmas Land once again, but when Standard has a turn 3 win, then I'm happy.
Well, they say Santa comes once a year.
Yeah!
Oh, shit.
So that is thanks to Hate in Digital. He said that it was discovered by Arabelle, E-R-A-B-E-L. That's the person that's on tappedout.net.
Thanks, Arabelle.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyways, the rest of it's just filler. You don't have to worry about it. It's just a mana fixing.
I like it, though.
Mantis Rider, whatever, you know, just Insult in Artifact. Yeah, if you don't get there, then you got to have stuff to, like, get you there. Yeah. You got to negate.
I concede.
Oh, it didn't work. Even later in the game, if you can draw just those three cards, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You don't need Springleaf Drum. You only need it for to get the ramp out to do it really quick. But essentially, all you need is the Crypt, which is the zero mana artifact, Retraction Helix, and Ornithopter. Oh, and then Jeskai. So you need four. That's it. You need four cards, though, anytime in the game, and you win.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Now, on that bombshell,
we are out of here. This has been episode 14 of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
This is Rick.
And Hot Sauce.
I'll check you guys on the flip. Catch you on the. Bye.
Down low. Man. High five, bro. Oh, man.
Fist pump. Okay.
I just fist pumped your high five. Damn it. Oh, man.
Actually did the warrior shake. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Walk away. Just walk away.
And the music.
Drop the mic.
Later, guys.
All right, guys, welcome to If Lance Could Kill. I'm not doing it.
This is Knife City, and you're listening to Lance Could Kill. Here on, what was it? Fucking ABC. on NPR.
Yeah,
this is NPR. This is NPR Radio.
Yeah.
You're now listening to NPR Radio.
We're gonna be a little quieter. Hey, everyone, you are now listening to NPR Radio. That's it.
That's what I like.
Hey, everybody, welcome to UPN.
Yeah.
You tuned into PBS recorded. Someone went like a fucking. Y'all need to clean your shit.
You need to teach me how to coil it. Because I don't know how to do that. My wire is looking like.
If we go to your bathroom, I'll show you a coil.
I don't know if you're talking about your curly dick or.
Yeah, curly dick for sure.
Curly dick.
If it only makes one like loop, is that really a coil? You know what I mean? A coil is like multiple. Like, yeah. I'm thinking like a curly fry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the curly fries are just one loop. This is hardly a curly fry.
But it's a big curl, you know? You got a big curl, bro.
Yeah. Thank you. It's fucking massive. I actually have... So if I have sex, right?
Yeah.
I have to have the girl lay there, and then I have to stay like lay on top of her and spin my body like a top to get it into her like a wine corkscrew whatever the hell it is, you know? Yeah, exactly. You can't just push it down.
No.
The only way it gets in is if you rotate it. And then it guides itself.
Exactly.
And then
it's already threaded.
Self-tapping? Yeah, it's tapping. Exactly. It's like threaded. You can't get it out. If you get it out, it just blows out. It blows up everything. Blown out, sir.
Oh, my God. It is hot.